Hi, can you all hear me okay? This is the problem that we're trying to face. The seeds deteriorate with time, and they do it in a time frame that's usually long and in a way that's not predictive. We have a huge variation among species and within seed lots of species. And so the combination of those factors, oh, and one more thing, you can't see it happening because the seeds are being stored. They kind of look a little inanimate. So the final, we laugh about it. They're not rocks, really. They're seeds. But anyways, the part of it is that there are changes happening in seeds, and we can't measure it, and we can't predict it, and we would like to do both of those. Here's an example from NCGRP. It's the culmination of 234 germination assays of Beta vulgaris. These assays are done using AOSA rules, so they're highly standardized methods. Did I say 234 assays? There are 234 accessions, and between 4 to 7 assays per accession over the storage period. You can look at the storage time, 60 years on that graph, which means these seeds came to USDA and in our storage in the 1950s. So it's quite a long experiment. The cutoff for these experiments were seeds received before 1978, and that's because at 1978 is when we turned the dial down to minus 18 degrees storage. So these were all seeds that saw plus 5 degrees for a good portion of their lifespan. Oops. What I want to point out is that at around 35 to 38 time period, if you're monitoring, we have some seeds that are doing just great and some seeds that are not doing well. And that leads us to and there's no correlation with initial germination. It is truly difficult to predict. And that leaves us with the uncomfortable conclusion that the germination assays that we do to predict how well seeds are doing in storage aren't predictive at all. You can measure it, it's just a snapshot in time, and you can measure it, but what happens, it doesn't tell you when it's going to hit that threshold and decline. Not only that, but we can also conclude that the seeds in a 10-year interval, they can go from living to dead, and we would have missed what we were trying to save. I'm not going to give a lot of background on some of the approaches that we're taking, but we see this kind of phenomenon with lots of materials. And I'm starting to look at seeds of, I call it solid state biology. These are solid materials. They're not fluid. Their biology is not what we understand in fluid cells with a lot of solution water. But we see this in the archival material, just changes in the structure of the material as a function of time. And my favorite one is the rubber band. You know, if you ever use rubber bands and all of a sudden you don't get to your files in time and the band becomes really brittle. But that's really what I think we're studying, that loss of function as a function of time. Two schools of thought on this, and this is kind of where we're going with the study, is it that the structure changes and that leads to chemistry, or is it the chemistry changes and that leads to structure? We also want to know whether the loss of function is related to the chemistry or to the structure. So that's kind of what our work is, and I'm going to talk to you about the chemistry part here. Though you really can't separate the structure from the function that we've tried. So this is a schematic of how seeds deteriorate. Initially, there's no symptoms at all. And then you get to a point, a threshold, and they crash. And the crash can go very, very quickly. And that's that, we want to look at the longevity during that asymptomatic period. And that's what makes it hard. You can't measure anything. It goes on for an unknown duration and nothing changes. We call that duration P80, the time for the germination to decline by 80%. But we look at P80 retrospectively. You never know when you're there until after it falls down, and so you have to do a lot of assays just to make sure that you've caught it. But for the rest of the work I'm showing you, it's going to be P80 that we're looking at. So that period where just before you can statistically tell there's a loss of viability. These are a lot of the people who have helped. There's a lot of work that's going into this because it's confusing and complex. Sarah Mira has done most of the work, and she likes to call it metabolomics, and use some bioinformatic techniques to make sense of the amount of data that we're producing. Pretty simply, what we're doing is taking the airspace from the seed, and then we inject it into the GC. And this is a typical GC scan. There are a lot of different molecules that we can detect, and a more expensive but probably more thorough method would be GC mass spec to analyze it. But we've tried that, and what we ended up doing is sending part of our samples where we pretty well know we get a consistent GC. We've gone there, we've hired outsourced GC mass spec for verification of the molecules. But most of the work is being done in-house, and that's just an economic reason. A lot of variation in results, and so we're going through what you'll see is about 1,000 different GC runs. Another way that we can do it, and we do it for validation, is use a GC column that has a little bit different principles for separation. And so crossing the DB 264 with the, or 624 with the stable wax, we can usually do a valid identification, I think. Another thing that we've changed since earlier times is increasing the sensitivity that we're detecting little peaks. So those little peaks there, we're now identifying, we're trying to identify as much as we can. They seem to be significant. And I'll point that out of why we think that is important in a bit. So far, we've identified over 50 compounds. There's a lot that's coming out. So this is some work that Sarah published about 5 years ago. And what she shows is that if we dried lettuce seeds to different water contents and measured the volatiles, we're going to see really different profiles in those volatiles as a function of the water content. That's pretty cool because we also think that seeds age in different ways by that. But on the wet side, mostly alcohols. On the dry side, the lipids that are produced are reminiscent of a lipid peroxidation. And if we correlate the amount of volatiles that are produced as a function of how rapidly these seeds are deteriorating, we get an excellent correlation with the fermentation type products. That's not surprising, but we're not making the conclusion that the fermentation products are causing the aging. In fact, we don't want to go there at all. That kind of cause effect has already been disproven. What we believe is happening, I talked about the structure function, is that these fermentation products actually are indicative of how much fluidity is in the cells as they're drying. And so they're a really good marker of something that we have been chasing, is structure. And in my world, structure and mobility are two sides of the same coin. This is some work that Sarah just got accepted for publication, yay. And what she was trying to do is build on those studies. If we saw great correlations between aging rate and ethanol production or fermentation products, then we should see that in seeds that are fast agers and slower ages. And what you can see here, there are three different relative humidities that we've stored at, and we've used three different seeds. Carom carvi is caraway. It ages really fast. Erica is a brassica, which ages rather slow under humid conditions, but it's pretty moderate under drier conditions. And you can see that's not a very good correlation. It wasn't very pleasing. We would have preferred to see carom always emitting a lot of volatiles and at all moisture contents. What you can also see is that the Erica has extremely low volatile production. And we, through other experiments that I don't have time to talk to you about, we don't think that's because it's not emitting volatiles. We think it's because it's absorbing the volatiles. And so for that reason, we do think that the sorption and adsorption kinetics of volatile production is going to be essential if we're going to make a good volatile balance and understand what is happening. It's just a new variable that we know we have to account for. I don't have a graph, but you have to remember the earlier graph of all those little bumps. What we found from this is that we, from this study of differing seeds, is that we found that the predominant molecules are completely reflective of the substrates that are in the, I'm going to finish on time, you don't worry, Mark. They're completely reflective of the storage products in the cell. Not a surprise, more substrate, more product. And so that's where we've come to the conclusion that we don't really want to look at the predominant molecules, we want to look at all that noise. So there we are, looking at noise again. All right. Our next question is, how do those profiles change as the seed ages? And this is actually the title of my talk, but it took me this time to get there. Over the past 28 years, I've been at NCGRP. I've been buying seeds of the same cultivar and just storing them. So now we have a collection of very old seeds at various stages of deterioration. And this is what we see for lettuce. The newest 2015, which we haven't purchased yet, is on the left axis, and the oldest is on the right axis. And you can see it's deteriorating. That really bad sample in 205 is because Sarah forgot to put it back in the fridge. Darn. You have to put your seeds in the fridge. Okay, so there's that graph. What we can look at, if we just look at the number of compounds, the number of compounds are increasing with the seed age. Not surprising. I already said it's those little things that we're chasing now. And there are a lot more as the seeds deteriorate. That's interesting for us. If we look at methanol production, it seems to be high, and this is just one marker of the fermentation product. We want to chase that. It looks pretty high, and then it decreases. But that's because I expressed it as a percentage, and if you looked at it as just whole molecules, it doesn't seem to change that much. Just more is being produced in the older materials. If we look at pentane production, and this is lettuce, lettuce has a lot of linoleic acid, and so therefore pentane is one of the predominant volatiles. You can see that it's increasing, and we think that's really interesting, indicative perhaps of the lipid body becoming exposed. So these are our conclusions. The most important one is that the metabolism is very different, wet and dry, and that we're going to have to look at the noise in order to make a good understanding of what this is. But I think in the noise we'll find some pretty good solutions and ability to monitor volatility. We have some speculations that we've observed. One is we think the difference between short-lived and long-lived is not necessarily how much volatiles, but how much you can dry and they can still continue this fermentation process. And the other is that we're seeing that some of the metabolism, the differences between wet and dry, seem to disappear as the seeds age. So, and with that, I thank you.